thoughts for my crazy day. My packed commute, all those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Whew! Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
You are Locked On Redskins, your daily podcast on the Washington Redskins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Redskins. I'm your host, Zach Hicks. You can follow my work on Breaking Football. Also follow my other podcast, Breaking the Draft with John Valencia. Always a good listen over there, even though I'm a little biased. Today is my favorite episode of the week. As always, it is every single week, the weekly mailbag. I love the weekly mailbag. I have a blast with it. I love getting all your guys' questions. And I also decided to do a little fun thing because I know a lot of you guys are now looking to the draft for no reason whatsoever. We are a 3-3 team who has lost to two very good football teams. But, you know, I appeal to what you guys want. So I will be doing a 3-round mock draft today. Note that a lot of things will be changing by the time the actual draft rolls around. So these three guys might not even declare for the draft by then, or if, I mean, one of them is going to be a senior, I believe, so he will be declaring for the draft, but you know what I mean. Some of these players might not be in the draft or be in the position where I'm taking them. This is just a very pre-mock draft, just so you guys have a couple names to look at before the draft rolls around next April. So to kind of jump right into our 3-round mock draft, our fun segment of the day, we will take in the very first round. I'm assuming this is going to be a mid to late first round pick. It will likely not be very high, and it likely will not be the very last pick of the draft. Something could change drastically by the time the end of the year rolls around. Redskins could lose out, could win out. Who knows? But for right now, I'm going to assume it's around like the 17th, 18th, 19th pick, around there. And I'm going to go with defensive tackle Vita Vea out of Washington University. And now, if you guys don't know who this guy is, he is perhaps the strongest player in all of college football, besides Deshaun Hand over in Alabama. Vita Vea is an elite run stuffer and will fill an immediate need at nose tackle for the Redskins. No, I am not going quarterback in the first round. I am assuming that Kirk Cousins is staying for the long term. Again, this is my podcast. I can assume that all I want. But Vea is a very, very good run stuffer, and he has the strength and the ability to develop as a great pass rusher as well. With Vea up in the middle, Jonathan Allen, Matt Ioannidis, will be a stout front three, along with Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith on the outside. The Redskins will have a very established front five right there that will be able to stop the run pretty effectively and also provide good pressure against the pass. So right there, off the bat, we are establishing the trenches. We are finishing up work that Scott McLuhan has done in the trenches to improve that area. And the Redskins will be dominant on both sides of the ball in the dirty areas, in the all offensive line, in defensive line. And that's kind of where you need to succeed in the NFL. Look at the Cowboys. Look at other good teams. They built those trenches up, and they have become very good football teams. Getting Vea in there in the first round, along with Ioannidis and Jonathan Allen, will just establish that defensive line as one of the better defensive lines in football. So Vita Vea is who I take. I'm assuming it's around the 17th, 18th, 19th pick. I think he would fall there because he will get stuck as like a run stuffer type kind of guy. So that's who I would take in the first round if the draft was today. In the second round, how about we get Kirk Cousins another weapon on offense? It's not going to be a receiver. So we are going to go with a stout running back out of Georgia, Nick Chubb. Now, Chubb is not at all the same player he was his freshman year in college. If he was back to his freshman form, he'd probably be a top 10 pick along with Geis and Barkley. But that's why I do think he falls to the second round. Chubb is still a very special talent. He carries the ball really well. He has some really good power for a big back. He's also fairly elusive, too, for a big back. And you can kind of see him getting back to that speed and agility he was as his freshman year. Now, again, if he gets anywhere near what he was as a freshman, he's a stud player who's going to be in the second round who the Redskins could have as a franchise back for a long time. For now, as of right now, the player he's a type of guy who can actually make something happen on first and second down, something that Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine just don't have. And then Chris Thompson come in on third downs and play his normal scat back role. So Nick Chubb would be an excellent addition to this Redskins team. He would actually give them a playmaker at running back who would actually get things done and carry the load and actually break off big plays. So Nick Chubb is who I would take in the second round. To close out this 3-round mock draft, I would go like 6 or 7 rounds, but I just don't know enough players at this point and I don't know enough projections at this point. So 3 rounds seem like a good place to cap it off because again, I'm not going to 7 with very little knowledge on who just declaring in this early in the year. As we get late in the year, I probably will do like a 7-round mock and stuff like that because I do love draft stuff, but I can't really do one right now with the lack of knowledge on players. But anyway, to jump into our 3rd round pick, again, we are going to get Kirk Cousins a weapon on the outside. This time it will be a receiver. It's going to be Cody Thompson out of Toledo. Now, if you guys don't know anything about Cody Thompson, he is basically a Jordy Nelson clone. And I am not just saying that because he's a white receiver out of a small school. He is excellent at sinking his hips and getting in and out of his routes. He is a big play machine. We call him the rack monster on Twitter because almost all of his yards come run after catch. He doesn't even have elite speed. He just knows how to make plays after the ball's in his hand. And also, he has elite balance. And we know that guys out of Toledo have elite balance. Look at Kareem Hunt, who just came out of Toledo, and look how he's shedding tackles. Cody Thompson actually does the same thing, but as a receiver. So Cody Thompson, check him out of Toledo. And also a sneaky pick. I know I'm not doing a long one here, but a sneaky pick at quarterback if the Redskins were going to go with a developmental guy. Logan Woodside out of Toledo as well. Check him out if you ever get a chance. He is a very good quarterback there, and he could probably run a West Coast scheme that Gruden likes pretty well. So if we do keep Cousins or move on from Cousins, he is definitely a guy to look at as well. But Cody Thompson, Nick Chubb, and Vita Vea. If we bring those guys in, I think the Redskins team will be a lot better next year with keeping Kirk Cousins, because again, we are keeping Kirk Cousins. In my opinion, it is my podcast. I can have that opinion. So that's our 3-round mock draft. That's how we're going to wrap that one up right there.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
Now it's time to jump in the weekly mailbag. Now, I was going to do some Cowboys breakdown today, but good news, I do have my good friend Donray Marinez from the Cowboys Wire coming on the show tomorrow. Or he's actually going to come on for Friday's show. We're recording tomorrow. He's going to come on Friday's show. So I'm just going to kind of save my Cowboys breakdown for when he's on. I'm not going to try to use all of my Cowboys breakdown knowledge just in this one show because I still haven't watched too many Cowboys games this year. I will likely do that tonight and tomorrow, getting ready for Donray to come on. But big announcement that Donray is coming on. He is the nicest Cowboys fan that I have ever met, so I'm very glad he's coming on. I can have a civilized conversation with a Cowboys fan. So just to kind of skip over the Cowboys breakdown for today, we are going to jump into the mailbag. Our first mailbag question was actually a lot of questions that came from Jake Ashworth, Burgundy and Gold on Twitter. He asked me a lot of questions for the mailbags. I always appreciate it. I love getting as many questions as you guys want to ask. So Jake had 100 questions regarding the game the other night, which is understandable. It was a frustrating game. So there's a lot of questions to be asked, and he actually gave me a big list of them to go through, and a lot of Redskins fans actually agreed with his list. So I'm just kind of going to go through them. We're going to rapid fire answer them. They're not going to take too long to answer. So the first one that Jake Ashworth asked was, why doesn't Jay Gruden run the ball? Why doesn't Jay Gruden run the ball? Down by 7, and the dude is pass, pass, pass. My only answer I could really have is that he doesn't trust these running backs, which I don't trust these running backs either. Chris Thompson is your only trustworthy guy, and he's one of the smallest backs in the NFL, so you have to kind of throw the ball a little bit. Now, I'm all for running the ball. Again, you need guys who can actually make something happen at the position. How come Pryor is so scared of contact if he isn't wide open? He anticipates a hit and drops it. I actually can't answer that one. That's all on Terrell Pryor. I know he's still adjusting to the NFL, but part of the position is getting hit over the middle. So, I mean, that's on him, not me, I guess. I don't really know how to answer that. That's probably a better question for him in his Instagram post. How come if Kirk makes one mistake, all of a sudden he's equivalent to Brock Osweiler? I don't know. I had a whole podcast where I ranted about it yesterday, so go back to that one if you want to know my opinions on that. Why does Vernon Davis constantly get wide open yet doesn't see more than 3 targets a game? I think that's more just his lack of play time. He only plays like 50% of the snaps. We got to remember, he is a 34, 35-year-old tight end. He can't play an entire game. As much as we want him to, he can't. And a lot of his plays are on broken coverage plays where he's got man-to-man with a linebacker, man-to-man with a safety who's smaller than him. And he's able to get open and get those big targets. So that's kind of why we don't see more targets going his way throughout the course of a game. Why is Crowder fumbling everything he touches? I don't know. That's another one we got to ask him. Crowder is definitely struggling this year, especially on the punt returns. It definitely is something to look at. In my opinion, I've been saying it since the beginning of the year, we need to have Fabian Moreau, I think, returning punts. I know he's been a little banged up, but Fabian Moreau has a big size to return punts. He was a running back when he first arrived at UCLA, And he actually has good hands, and it gets him in the game more. So when Fabi Moreau gets healthy, I'd rather have him returning punts. But I have no clue what's going on with Crowder this year. He is playing really poor, and I did not see that coming going into the year. Why do we have 15-yard routes on 3rd-and-1 when they are going to blitz 8 guys? Where are the slants to guys like Crowder and Reed and Doxson? Again, I have no clue. I don't know why the play calling is that way. I'm completely with you. If we're going to throw it on 3rd-and-short, why not get a quick hitter? Because you know the Eagles are going to blitz. They have Jim Schwartz as their defense coordinator. He's one of the most aggressive defense coordinators in football. He's going to blitz. He's going to bring guys. So the play calling definitely had to be better in that game. Not going to lie. So those were all of his questions. He says, these are my questions. I apologize. Jake, never apologize for your questions. I love getting as many questions as possible. They don't even need to be Redskins related. I will answer any questions on this podcast. So Jake, again, thank you for sending in all of your questions. I appreciate it. This next one is by Farildo at GutLead74. I freaking love that name, Farildo. He asks, why on 3rd-and-very-short, why we didn't even try a quarterback sneak? Again, I have no clue. I don't know why we weren't trying anything by the time the 4th, 3rd-and-short came, or at least tried running the ball once. Again, I have no clue what the play calling was on those 3rd-and-shorts. It was bad, and as a result, we didn't convert 4 3rd-and-manageables, 3rd-and-really-manageables, which was poor on Jay Gruden's part, some poor on Kirk's part, and also on the skill position players for not getting open. So it was just all around, it was pretty bad. We definitely need to improve in those areas there. Yo Virgo P at PDC1010 asks, who's a better offensive mind, Sean McVay or Jay Gruden? I'd probably say Jay Gruden, because Sean McVay learned a lot from Jay Gruden. So a lot of Sean McVay's success did come from learning from Jay Gruden. Even though McVay is a great offensive coordinator and he's doing some great things on his own, you have to kind of give a lot of credit to Jay Gruden for teaching him everything he knows. Now, a lot of Sean McVay, again, came from learning from Belichick, learning from guys like that, and incorporating them into his scheme. But Jay Gruden was a big part in that, so I would actually have to go with Jay Gruden here. You know, this year the Redskins have a top 10 offense. It's not like they're a poor offense. Now, I know the Rams have, like, the top 2 offense. But again, the Redskins do have a top 10 offense, so a lot of it is Jay Gruden teaching Sean McVay how to do his thing, and McVay just kind of making it his own. Strick9 at Spider_Skins asks, say we end up 9-7. We miss the playoffs. Skins and Kirk can't agree. Front office decides 3rd franchise tag makes no sense. Give me your plan going forward. See, this is actually an interesting question because it's a big hypothetical. To kind of go with the hypothetical here, though, I would say what you have to kind of do in this situation is you have to sign an average quarterback who's going to be relatively cheap, because we know average quarterbacks even cost $10, $12 million a year, but you have to kind of go for a guy like Case Keenum, Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, blech, just guys who are average at best, and then you have to draft a quarterback in the 1st or 2nd round. That's how it kind of plays out if you get rid of Cousins. So, I mean, I guess those are your options there if you get rid of Cousins. Definitely the team's going to take a big step back if you do something like that, in my opinion. But next question, Jeff LJ Lloyd, at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd, who is actually the host over at Locked On Browns, so be sure to give Jeff a follow and go check out Locked On Browns. He asks, what's the percentage of Cousins being in D.C. next season? I don't really know that off the top of my head because I don't really have inside sources or anything with the Redskins. If it was up to me or kind of what I'm feeling out from what some of the reporters are saying, I would say it's probably like a 60 to 70% chance he stays. I really don't see him going anywhere. I think a franchise tag is likely. I think they could get a long-term deal done. I don't think many teams out there, like destinations that he wants to go to. Maybe the Broncos, but I don't think they have enough cap for it. Maybe the Browns, but why would Kirk want to go to the Browns? Maybe the Niners, but again, they're going to have a top 5 pick. Why would they take Kirk over a top 5 guy? So I just see Cousins coming back to this Redskins team regardless. But I'll put it like 60 to 70% because that is going to be a big price tag, and I have no clue where the Redskins front office head is at with that. My cousin Tyler Karch, I don't think he has a Twitter account, so you guys should probably go follow him on Instagram or something if you wanted to. I don't know. He asked, should they trade for anyone before the trade deadline? I don't think there's really anyone out there that I'd specifically try to target. Maybe TJ Yeldon if they could throw like a 6th or 7th round pick at him. Again, I don't really think Yeldon's that great, but at least it'd be something at running back. Kind of maybe some other kind of running backs out there who are available. Maybe Corey Grant even from the Jaguars. Just someone out there. But overall, I don't really want them targeting anybody via trade just because, and, you know, it's midway through the year. The new player would have to learn the playbook. Usually the trade deadline guys don't have that huge impact on the team they go to. So overall, I'm not a big fan of trading for anyone at this point. He also asked, who's the hardest team they have left to play? And what do they have to do to make sure they win that game? Now, by far the hardest team, in my opinion, they have to play is going to Seattle. I know Seattle has looked very beatable this year, especially with their offensive line being really poor. But going there to Seattle, that's one tough game. You know, that stadium there scares me because Redskins have been there before. I don't think I've ever seen them win in Seattle in, you know, in my lifetime. It definitely has been a long time. And, you know, that place gets wild up there in Seattle. Along with Russell Wilson being one of the top quarterbacks in football, along with having Sherman and Wagner and Chancellor and Earl Thomas, all those guys still playing at their peak level, and having an elite defensive line as well. It's going to be hard to score. It's going to be hard to hear. And the Redskins' defense needs to step up. So in my opinion, to win that game, the defensive line and the defense in general really needs to have a big game. They need to dominate that offensive line at the point of attack, stifle the run game, get pressure on Russell Wilson, contain him in the pocket. Don't allow those big plays like we allowed to Carson Wentz this week. And let the offense just kind of do their thing. Let the offense stay on the field. That way the Redskins can control the game, control the clock, and they might have a chance at pulling off an upset up there in Seattle. The next question I have here would be, do you think Kirk Cousins' numbers would be better if he had an NFL caliber number one receiver as well as a healthy Jordan Reed? See, I love this question just because we are assuming that Josh Doctson and Terrell Pryor are not NFL caliber number one receivers, which they are not. They are good number twos at this point. Well, Pryor's not good at anything right now at this point. Josh Doctson at this point is a good number two that Cousins just doesn't trust fully yet. But yeah, if the Redskins had a true number one, I'm not even talking like an Antonio Brown type. I'm talking like a Golden Tate type guy. Like just a guy who can carry the load, who's a good player, nothing great. Even like a Pierre Garçon type who can be like a number one receiver. If the Redskins did have a guy like that on this roster, Cousins' numbers would probably be way better than what they are. And who knows, Redskins might have won another game or two because he would have a guy he can get the ball to, a guy he can trust. And going to go with the Jordan Reed thing, Jordan Reed's a dominant player. When he's healthy, he's one of the best players in football, especially at a tight end. So yeah, if Jordan Reed was healthy all year, who knows, Redskins might have an extra win in here this year. Jordan Reed might be performing this whole year the way he did this last game, and he only played this last game at like 95% healthy, 90% healthy. So yeah, I think those are two big factors why we're blaming Kirk Cousins for a lot, why we're seeing some missed throws. I think a lot of it does come down to not having trust with these receivers and them not being number one type guys.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
This next question comes from my friend Kyle Hickerson. I don't think he's on Twitter, so he's on Facebook or something if you guys want to follow him. You said that the Redskins should not keep looking for a Carson Wentz every draft. What should they be focused on most in this next draft? Well, I did do a mock draft today, so those are kind of positions I would focus on. But just to kind of clarify what I said yesterday, I didn't say the Redskins shouldn't try for a Carson Wentz every draft. I said you were killing your team if you were getting rid of a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback like Kirk Cousins trying to find a Carson Wentz. I think getting rid of something you have and constantly looking for something great when odds are you're not going to find anything great is just horrible. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend that you have that you really like, but you know you really like her, and then you just look at this supermodel walking by and you think, oh, I'm going to break up with this girlfriend that I really like just because I might get with that supermodel over there. It doesn't work that way. Your odds of getting that supermodel are not very good. So that's not how you're supposed to draft. Now, I'm completely fine with taking shots at guys who are like Carson Wentz if you still have Kirk Cousins on your roster. You know, if Josh Allen's sitting there in the second or third round, whatever, I'm fine with taking him, back up Kirk Cousins, develop him, because he's got a big arm and he's very mobile. But getting rid of a proven guy, a proven Pro Bowler even, like Kirk Cousins, who has got your team to the playoffs in the past, who is one of the top five statistical performers over the last couple years, you can't just get rid of him for an unproven rookie when 65 to 75% of these rookies that go even in the first round don't pan out. Like I said, for every Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Dak Prescott, there's a Christian Ponder, a Blaine Gabbert, and an E.J. Manuel. So take your chances with those guys. I would rather have Kirk Cousins, and I'd rather roll with him in the future. So this last question I have kind of came from a Patriots fan, my friend Luis Escobar, who, by the way, if you guys want to see the most insane fans in the history of football, we are in an AFC group chat or something on Facebook that has like hundreds of random AFC fans across the country. These people are literally insane. I said one thing once about like Deshaun Watson not playing as well as what his stats are saying. I literally had people calling out like my life and saying that, you know, oh, you work at Target, you're an idiot, and stuff like that. And I'm like, what's going on here? So if you want to check out the most insane football fans on the planet, go check out that AFC group chat. I don't really have the name of it right now, but they are crazy. But anyway, Luis Escobar asked me a Patriots question. And as I said, I will answer almost any question that you guys send me just because I love these questions. I love these mailbag questions. So he asked me, did the Patriots cheat using fog machines against the Falcons? Well, as we all know, once cheaters are always cheaters. So the Patriots definitely brought in like 500 fog machines, threw them all in the Falcons players' faces and in front of the camera screens. But the Patriots kind of developed these new goggles so they could see through the fog machines. It's kind of how they work there in New England. They are definitely cheaters. They definitely cheated everything in that game. That's the only way the Patriots win, you know? Tom Brady's not really a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a cheater. That's all he is. I don't think the Patriots ever really cheated. I'm kind of always going to be on that bandwagon. If you guys want to discuss that with me, again, you can follow me on Twitter at ZachHicks2. I will gladly talk about that whenever. I don't ever think the Patriots cheated, though, really. Alright guys, that's all I have for today. I had some fun questions, some Patriots questions, doing a mock draft. A lot of fun stuff on this edition of Locked On Redskins. So be sure to tune in tomorrow as I think it's just gonna be me tomorrow, as Donray's gonna come on the Friday show. So tune in tomorrow as I do my best to break down the Cowboys and Redskins matchup. Probably go back a little bit on the Eagles game again, just to say what the Redskins did right, what the Redskins did wrong, and how that could apply to the Cowboys.